traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
They want him in prison, and this is what we need to understand.
So true.
David Brock and some of these organizations have already raised tens of millions of dollars for an impeachment process. Then they want jail to the chief. They need to understand that this is a war. We are so far beyond normal politics, Sean. We are in a very dangerous moment. And while President Trump is a very strong leader and a man of strong constitution, he was able to survive all of this during the campaign and get elected president. When you're president and you are faced with the kind of monolithic opposition you were talking about, plus a federal bureaucracy that is completely out to undermine him every day, the intelligence community that is engaged in some of this as well that we have heard, I hope to God that he is strong enough to withstand this. They are out to destroy him, because if he succeeds, the country changes for the good, and they must not allow that to happen.
Hey guys, I'm Monica Crowley, and this is the Monica Crowley Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me as we begin to close out yet another week. This is your go-to for hot liberty, a safe space for all of us thought criminals, independent thinkers, and happy warriors. Don't forget to check me out on social media, Instagram @MonicaCrowley_, and on Twitter and True Social @MonicaCrowley, also by email @MonicaCrowleyPodcast@gmail.com. All right, later today, we're going to talk with cultural commentator and nationally syndicated radio host Todd Starnes. He's got a brand new book out, asking the huge question, which we pose here every day: can America be saved? We're going to get his view, and we're also going to talk about the spiritual nature of this battle, because it's very real. And I know I talk about it here, but it cannot be said enough. So Todd Starnes is going to be here. Fascinating conversation coming up next week. Big, big guests. I cannot wait for next week's shows. Next week, we're going to talk with Canadian media baron and populist and conservative, and he's taken a lot of slings and arrows over the years because he's had big media properties in Canada and elsewhere, and also he's a Nixonian. He's a Reaganite. He's totally pro-Trump and very close to President Trump. Lord Conrad Black is going to be here. And when I got notified that he's got a new book, you know, Conrad Black is a brilliant writer, as well as businessman. And he's written some extraordinary volumes in the past. Well, now he's got a brand new book, which is hugely ambitious. And apparently it's just volume one. It's essentially a history of the world. And anytime I think about writing a column, like for the New York Post or Newsweek or Human Events, I'm going to start writing for them here coming up. And it's like 600 to 800 words. And I'm like, oh man, you know, every sentence has to be right. The idea of tackling a history of the world makes me just want to, I don't know, just go sit on a beach, take a swim, go to sleep, take a nap. But Lord Conrad Black is taking it on, and volume one, which I believe covers the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, I mean, it is an extraordinary volume, and he is going to be here next week to talk about it, and what lessons we can take from these empires, how they rise, how they fall, the lessons we need to know about them today in America and in the West. So that is going to be a huge, very important, sweeping conversation. Do not miss it. Also next week, Peter Schweitzer is going to be here with his massive expose about how the Chinese Communist Party has infiltrated our ruling class in every way, not just politically, not just our politicians, but our culture, our sports, everything. They're buying up our farmland, of course, but they're buying up so much more, and it is very frightening. We're losing our sovereignty every single second to the CCP. Peter Schweitzer is going to be here next week on that. So huge conversations next week. I'm very excited about. First up today, though, the Monica memo. What are the communists up to? And next week, we are going to talk about the Chinese communists and what they're up to. But what about the American communists? What are they up to? Well, a lot. Earlier this week, the main American communist who is actually running the country, along with his wife and his entire machine, Barack Obama. Barack Obama was in London, and he was spotted entering 10 Downing Street. That is the residence of the British Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. Now, understand here, guys, a couple of things. Yes, of course, all of this mess is Obama 3.0. Obama and Michelle and the team are running the country, Susan Rice, I mean, the entire crew. It's not Joe Biden and his crew, it's Obama and his crew. There is a reason why they installed Joe Biden as the president, because Joe Biden was Barack Obama's vice president. So there is a huge overlap in teams and policy and loyalty and everything else. And when I say installed, I do mean installed. If you still believe that Joe Biden got 81 million votes, I have a bridge to sell you. Oh, we got 81 million votes. Sure, Jan. So we understand what is happening here, but the picture is much bigger. It's not just Joe Biden who was installed. It is almost every single Western leader has been installed. Not elected, installed. And once you understand that, then everything else begins to make sense. So Joe Biden, Justin Trudeau in Canada, Rishi Sunak in the UK, Olaf Scholz in Germany, the list goes on and on, Macron in France. There are a few exceptions, like Giorgia Meloni in Italy, although she's caving a lot, so they probably got to her. But the other exception, like Viktor Orban, and then others across the West and the rest of the world that believes in freedom, Javier Milei in Argentina, Bukele in El Salvador. There are others who are coming to the fore and actually winning elections in defiance of the installers. But when you realize that most of our leaders are installed, everything falls into place, right? Well, Barack Obama was spotted entering 10 Downing Street to meet with Rishi Sunak. I did not see a rundown of what they talked about, and I can only surmise that they are cooking up something, the globalist deep state, of which Sunak and Obama are definitely real leaders and players. They're cooking up something. And I don't know what it is. I'm not privy to these conversations, but I know that they are being had. And when you think about 2020 and everything that they sprung on us to stop Donald Trump, to stop America First, to get their globalist reset back on track, it is extraordinary. They burned down America, launched a virus, shut down the global economy, rigged elections, January 6th. I mean, all of this stuff to stop us, to stop the people, to stop freedom, and get their anti-freedom, essentially Marxist, globalist agenda back on track. Well, when you see Obama and Sunak meeting behind closed doors, no good can come of this. No good for you and me, for sure. So we're going to keep a close eye on that, but I wanted to call it to your attention because you know something is brewing. Speaking of communists and what they are up to here in America, well, of course, their main goal is to crush free speech, because communists cannot function with free speech. When you have free speech, people start to, well, talk to each other and share the facts and share the truth. Speaking of facts and truth, we're going to talk about Tony Bobulinski on the Hill yesterday. We're going to get to that in a second as well. But, you know, and throughout that testimony, all of the Democrats tried to shut Bobulinski down and Galanis, the other anti-Biden witness. You know, these are people who had longstanding business ties with Hunter and Jim and Joe Biden, deeply corrupt business deals with the Chinese Communist Party and the Ukrainians and the Romanians and the rest. And every single time Galanis and Bobulinski tried to open their mouths to share the truth and the facts about the Biden's deep corruption, the Democrats tried to shut them down, talk over them. My time, I'm claiming my time. All of that stuff. We're going to get to AOC, who has no clue about RICO. We're going to talk about all this, but the Democrats were talking over them and pontificating over nothing when they weren't straight up lying. This is what communists have to do. They have to shut us down, prevent us from communicating, because otherwise they cannot survive, thrive, and advance their agenda. So the First Amendment is a huge obstacle for the communists and the globalists trying to destroy America and the West. So that is why the First Amendment is always in their crosshairs, and that's why they are working hand in glove with big tech, with the imperial media, which we talked about earlier this week. Go back and listen to Tuesday's show on the imperial media if you haven't already heard it. But they're all working hand in glove to crush the facts, to crush the truth, crush free speech, so that you do not have this open exchange of ideas, which is the death knell for the communist movement, for the globalists. So they work 24 hours a day to stifle and destroy free speech because, again, they cannot function and put their nefarious plans into action with free speech. So there is a major, if not the most major in quite a long time, free speech case before the Supreme Court. They did oral arguments this week, and the entire case stems from March of 2021, when the COVID-19 shots, the mRNA shots, were increasingly available to the public, and you started to see on social media questioning of these shots. So the administration, the Biden administration, launched a very aggressive campaign urging people to go and get these shots, okay? But on social media, there were a lot of people questioning them, questioning their efficacy, questioning their safety, questioning the fact that they did not go through the usual kind of safety protocols. And so people were saying, gee, you know, I'm not so sure I'm going to get this. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me. It didn't go through the usual process of testing and long-term studies. In fact, there are no long-term studies on this stuff. So people were raising legitimate questions on social media. And the White House, the Biden White House at the time, started freaking out, and they started working with big tech, the social media companies like Twitter at the time, but also Facebook and others, to suppress those kinds of posts. The White House, so the government, working in cahoots with the social media companies over content moderation policies to try to suppress people from raising these questions about the mRNA shots. So that is the context of what we're talking about here. It is, again, one of the biggest free speech cases in American history, and certainly in recent American history. The lawsuit was initially brought by a real hero, former Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, who is now a sitting senator from the state of Missouri, and also the former Louisiana Attorney General Jeff Landry, who is now Louisiana's governor, and five people who say that their social media posts were censored. Okay, so this is the case that is now before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's called Murphy versus Missouri. And there were oral arguments that took place before SCOTUS this week. And there was a lot of back and forth about whether or not the government can censor speech. Now, we know in the past you can't yell fire in a crowded theater because it's an incitement to violence. So there are limited restrictions on the First Amendment, but not many. But of course, the communists want more. In fact, they want the First Amendment completely dispensed with. When we talk about the communists having infiltrated every institution in our country and our culture and everything else, that is true. The long march through our institutions over many decades is now at the point where they control everything, including the judicial process, the courts, prosecutors, judges, as we're seeing in the Trump cases, right? And now we have at least two communists on the Supreme Court, Sonia Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson, who just was elevated to the court last year from Joe Biden. I believe it was last year. Maybe it was 2022. I don't know. But anyway, she is on the court now. And in hearing this case, Ketanji Brown Jackson had some questions about the First Amendment. In fact, she expressed concerns that the First Amendment is, quote, hamstringing the government when it comes to censoring speech on social media and, of course, for communists everywhere else.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in significant ways in the most important time periods. What would you have the government do? I've heard you say a couple times that the government can post its own speech, but in my hypothetical, kids, this is not safe, don't do it, is not going to get it done. And so I guess some might say that the government actually has a duty to take steps to protect the citizens of this country, and you seem to be suggesting that that duty cannot manifest itself in the government encouraging or even pressuring platforms to take down harmful information. So can you help me? Because I'm really worried about that, because you've got the First Amendment operating in an environment of threatening circumstances from the government's perspective, and you're saying that the government can't interact with the source of those problems.
This is an absolutely horrifying statement, frankly, from any American citizen, but from a U.S. Supreme Court justice. I mean, she either doesn't know about the First Amendment, but the woman is not a dummy. She knows what the First Amendment is and what it guarantees to every American citizen, and how the founders made it the First Amendment and not the 8th or 11th or 15th for a reason, because without free speech, you do not have freedom. You do not have America. So they made it the First Amendment for a reason. She knows what it is. She just rejects it. That's the thing. You know, when you hear conversation like, oh, these leftists, they just don't get it. No, they get it. They just reject it, and they're at war with it. So it's a horrifying statement to hear from a SCOTUS justice, but not surprising when you realize that she is an active communist. And this is what they actually believe, that the government should have the right to shut you down and your ability to communicate in the way that you would like. So we will see how this case shakes out. I have confidence that the other justices, well, the conservative ones anyway, five or six of them, will come down on the right-hand side. But you've got Sonia Sotomayor, you got Elena Kagan. I don't know how she's going to come down here. But the fact that this is even a question before the court is, and the fact KBJ said what she said about restraints on the First Amendment is absolutely horrifying. Elon Musk was like, what? He was like, I'm sorry, what? But when your enemies tell you who they are, what they believe, and what they intend to do, believe them the first time. Also, keep in mind, Ketanji Brown Jackson has had prior leniency toward child sex predators and offenders, which makes her not the best choice for the Supreme Court. But again, for the communists, she is ideal. Speaking of communists in the judicial system, how about this story? An Obama-appointed judge just this week decreed that illegal aliens can use guns while illegally present in America. She is an Obama appointee, of course. U.S. District Judge Sharon Johnson Coleman ruled on March 8th that a federal law prohibiting illegal immigrants from owning guns is unconstitutional. arguing that the law did not adhere to the Supreme Court's ruling in New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus Bruin that stipulated gun control laws must fit historical tradition. The case was brought after Heriberto Carballa Flores, an illegal alien, was charged with illegally possessing a gun. But Judge Coleman argued that since his criminal record did not involve, quote, improper use of a weapon or violence during his arrest, he did not pose a risk to public safety, and therefore he shouldn't, quote, be deprived of his Second Amendment right to bear arms in self-defense. But someone who broke the laws of the land and is illegally residing here is not entitled to the same rights that the Constitution secures for us, U.S. citizens, guys. Illegals instead must have their rights secured by their own governments. And this has been upheld by the Supreme Court in a number of different cases. The Supreme Court ruled in D.C. versus Heller that, quote, the people refer in the Second Amendment refers to, quote, all members of the political community. Foreign citizens are, by definition, members of a different political community. Writing for the majority in that case, the late Justice Antonin Scalia wrote, quote, the people refers to a class of persons who are part of a national community or who have otherwise developed sufficient connection with this country to be considered part of that community. As attorney Costas Moros explained in an analysis at The Reload, quote, someone who just entered the United States illegally has not developed any sufficient connection with the country. So the communists want to take away your guns and your gun rights, but illegal immigrants, no problemo. Here's your gun. Use it against unarmed American citizens. Do you see what is happening here? They are arming illegals, including a lot of enemies of the United States, while taking away your guns, your right to self-defense against those newly armed enemies within. Do you see what is happening here, guys? This is incredibly dangerous. It is incredibly treasonous. But this is what the communists are up to. Open your eyes. You can say, well, you know, it'll be overturned in higher courts, certainly by the Supreme Court. Guys, I just talked to you about at least two, maybe three communists on the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is relatively okay for now, but that is also hanging by a thread. With every single one of these decisions like this, like the Colorado Supreme Court decision about kicking Trump off the ballot, well, yeah, it gets reversed in the Supreme Court, thank God. But they are moving the Overton window with every single decision like this that they make. Don't dismiss this as, oh, well, that's crazy and it'll get overturned. Yeah, in the moment, but they keep advancing the ball and the next decision will be more extreme. And then when we lose control over the U.S. Supreme Court, which is why the communists want to stack the court and expand it, then there will be no avenue of redress. And you won't get it overturned. Do you see what is happening here? It's my job to open your eyes. And that's why you're at this show. And I appreciate you guys so much for being here and for telling everybody about it, because we need to wake up every single American citizen. Illegals with guns, while they're taking your right to have a gun away. We just spoke about the First Amendment. There's a reason that the founders made it number one. And now here is the Second Amendment, your right to bear arms in self-defense against a tyrannical government. There's a reason the founders made that number two. You have no freedom without number one and number two. You do not have America and you have no freedom and you will live in a tyranny. Founders understood that. The communists get it too, which is why they're trying to destroy the rights in both amendments. Pay attention. Speaking of communists, one last story here before we turn to Todd Starnes. Yesterday, Tony Bobulinski, Jason Galanis, two former Hunter Biden business associates, associates with the rest of the Biden family, including Joe Biden and his brother Jim Biden, they testified on Capitol Hill to the House Oversight and Judiciary Committees. The Democrats in this hearing were disgusting. They were absolutely disgusting with their lies and their filibustering and their rude behavior. But again, they have to shut free speech down because with free speech, the facts and the truth come out, as Bobulinski and Galanis were trying to present yesterday, and both of them did an extraordinary job. In fact, Bobulinski just straight up called Joe Hunter and Jim Biden liars. Straight up liars in his congressional testimony, called Jim and Hunter perjurers before the Oversight Committee when they did their private depositions with them. Perjurers. So let's see if Congress holds them to account for their lies under oath to Congress. You got people like Peter Navarro being thrown into prison by the regime for defying a subpoena for the bogus January 6th case. You've got the regime arresting their political opponents like Donald Trump, like Steve Bannon, like Peter Navarro, like the January 6th defendants who continue to rot in prison. While these criminals, and especially the Biden family, engaged in massive foreign influence peddling to the tune of tens of millions of dollars, as Bobulinski laid out yesterday. And the communists know that those crimes have been committed, and so they try to overtalk Bobulinski and Galanis and shut down the whole thing and put on a huge show. But in the end, Bobulinski got this out. He was asked, you know, that infamous text about hold 10% for H, for the big guy? He was asked multiple times yesterday, Mr. Bobulinski, are you sure that the big guy refers to Joe Biden? And he said, as Mona Lisa Vito says in My Cousin Vinny, I'm positive. Listen.
Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy? Are you sure about that? Because when...
Jordan, Joe
sir,
Biden.
You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
1,000% sure, Bobulinski says, that Joe Biden is the big guy. Well, duh, of course he's the big guy. The one thing missing from all of this is that there are no massive foreign business dealings without Joe Biden in high office. None of these deals happen without Joe Biden in high office. Of course, he is the big guy. A couple of other great exchanges here. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is a communist actress, tried to come at Bobulinski and ask him if he personally saw Joe Biden commit a crime. And of course, she talks all over Bobulinski during this because she knows the truth but can't have it exposed. So here is that exchange, particularly, I want you to listen closely to Rico. Go.
Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business
deal. Did you
deal,
witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir?
Specifically. You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What is
it's
the
It's a category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
You
under
have charges.
A long hundred
You have charges.
Statutes.
Sir, yeah. Please
you want me to name the exact statute
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir, I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That
I
went to law school.
Time. I
I'll
reclaim
leave it
my
up
time.
To you guys
okay,
to
thank
define
you,
the
sir.
Statute
I reclaim my time.
So Bobulinski puts her right in her place where she's like, oh, RICO is a set of, and he's like, no, dude, you have no concept of what the RICO statute is. Plus, Bobulinski was trying to talk about public corruption statutes that are on the books, all of which he believes Joe Biden has violated. So he's like, yeah, I've seen him commit crimes. I was there. I saw it like straight up. Yeah. And of course, she's trying to talk over him with her stupidity because she has no clue what RICO is. And Ms. Ocasio-Cortez, if RICO, those statutes, do not constitute crimes, then Fannie Willis and the entire Georgia case against Trump must be thrown out because her whole case is based on RICO statutes that do not apply to Donald Trump and his fellow defendants down there, but do apply to Joe Biden and his familia. Finally, Congressman Dan Goldman, another real piece of work. Bob Alinsky, here he is calling out Dan Goldman, who's been, you know, just obfuscating the facts constantly on this, trying to cover up for the Biden family. Here is Bob Alinsky calling him out.
Well, evidence. You provided the committee with a screenshot of a text message that is between James Gilliard and you, dated May 11th, 2017. You see this? I don't know if you can see it. If you can't see, it's just you and James Gilliard, though, right? You remember this text message, I'm sure.
Generally, yes.
All right. And in it, Gilliard writes, "Man, you are right. Let's get the company set up, then tell H and family the high stakes and get Joe involved." And 2 days later, Mr. Gilliard sent an email to you, CCing Rob Walker and Hunter Biden, in which he suggested a division of the company and included a proposal of, quote, 10% held by H for the big guy, question mark. You remember that, right?
The infamous email with the big guy? Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Did anyone ever respond to that email?
Yes, they did, numerous times.
Sorry.
Hunter Biden himself did.
Excuse me. You're right.
Well, no, I think that's important because Hunter Biden has claimed that he didn't respond to it, and he responded to it.
You're just going to filibuster. I reclaim my time that's running out, but I will say no one responded to the big guy reference for 10.
Thank you for making my point. They didn't have to respond because they all knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
I reclaim my time. Mr. Chairman, please control the witness.
Well, good for Bob Alinsky and the others for just like calling them what they are, which is like straight up liars. Everybody is afraid to use the L word, but Bob Alinsky wasn't. So there it is. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do with this information. I don't know if they're actually going to call an impeachment vote. They should, but they are wimps. And now they've got a one vote majority in the House, and they don't want to walk their vulnerable members over the plank on an impeachment vote going into an election. So who knows if we're actually going to get an impeachment vote here, but at least Bob Alinsky and the others have done their patriotic duty in laying out the facts for the historical record so that even if Joe Biden is not impeached, which of course he deserved to be impeached a million times, but if he's not impeached, then at least the historical record has the facts and the truth. So Bob Alinsky, Galanis, the others, Devin Archer, they're all heroes for taking a lot of incoming to lay out the facts for the American people. All right, let's hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Todd Starnes about can America be saved with all this coming at us. Sit tight. The erosion of our food supply is a pressing concern in today's world. The prevalence of diseases and the number of Americans getting sick continues to rise because of the practices associated with commercial farming, the use of fertilizers, chemical sprays, and the proliferation of bioengineered foods. We deserve better. We deserve food that will nourish our bodies, not break them down. And Freedom Farms believes that too. Straight from beautiful upstate New York, Freedom Farms, founded and operated by great American patriots, are leading the charge in restoring faith in food production by providing an alternative that is natural, healthy, and unadulterated. The farm raises grass-fed, grass-finished beef, pasture-raised pork, and free-range pastured chickens. But the best part about all of this is that all of their meats are 100% vaccine-free and hormone-free. And did I mention, you can even buy up to a whole cow and pig. Delicious and healthy meats processed at a small family-owned butcher shop and delivered right to your front door. It's time we take control of our food supply. Check out Freedom Farms today by visiting wearefreedomfarms.com. And don't forget to use code MONICA25 for $25 off your first order. Wearefreedomfarms.com, code MONICA25 for $25 off your very first order. Check out my friends at Freedom Farms for the very best meat you will ever have. Wearefreedomfarms.com, code MONICA25. I am so happy to welcome back to the show Todd Starnes. Todd is a best-selling author and nationally syndicated radio host. In fact, he is the owner of KWAM News Talk in Memphis, which is a huge blockbuster station, and I join Todd on his show all the time. It's a fabulous show, so please go check it out. And if you don't live in Memphis, Todd here is going to tell us how you can live stream the show every day. Just a great show. He's also the author of 7 books, including his latest, which is called Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And Todd joins us now. Welcome, my friend.
Monica, it's kind of weird. Normally, I'm interviewing you, so this is a first for me.
Well, it's a real treat for me, too. And I know you were on the show last year, and I love just talking to you on your show as well. So I'm so pleased to have you back, especially now that you've got this new book. Congratulations. You say in this book, okay, first of all, the title is amazing, of course, Twilight's Last Gleaming from the National Anthem. You know, tell us why you decided to write this book. You say in the book that we stand at a time of great choosing. What do you mean by that?
Well, I got the name for the book from a speech that Ronald Reagan delivered many years ago, and he made an interesting observation about the national anthem. He said it doesn't start with a declaration like, you know, we are the greatest nation. No, it doesn't start like that. It starts with a question. Do you still see the flag? Is it still flying? And that is an interesting question. And it's a question that really every generation in America, I think, Monica, has to answer. It ties into another speech that Reagan gave where he talked about this idea that our freedom is not passed along in the bloodstream, that every single generation has to fight for freedom. And that was really the big question of the book. Are we doing that? Are we fighting for freedom? And are we doing that for future generations? And are the current generations fighting for freedom? And that was the big question that I wanted to ask in the book. But Monica, I also wanted to write with a little bit of humor and levity. There's just a lot of anxiety in the country right now. And where it was appropriate, I felt like I really needed to infuse a lot of humor into the book to talk about some of the crazy chaos over these past 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. And in fact, and I want to ask you about this, too. You know, it's not just the last 3 years. I talk about this on your show and this show all the time about how this attempt to destroy the United States from within really began in the 1930s as a KGB operation and then took on a life of its own. And we've got external enemies that picked it up, like the Chinese Communist Party and the globalists. And now we have internal enemies that have picked it up with the weaponization of our own government, etc. So when you say the last 3 years, yes, that's true. It has accelerated under the Obama-Biden partnership. But, you know, I saw on Twitter the other day, Todd, somebody said, and again, this has been going on for decades, but somebody said, you know, when we talk about 2024 as the last really election to save our country, after which, if we don't win, it's the country really will be gone for good. But somebody said it's not 2024 that was the tipping point. It was 2008 with the election of Barack Obama. Your thoughts on that, your thoughts on after writing this book and putting it out there, your thoughts on when we did hit a real tipping point where things started to really accelerate for the destruction of the country.
And you're right, Monica. That was a tipping point, and it was an inflection point. And I take people back to that moment when Obama promised to fundamentally transform America. And I talk about what he actually meant by that, and it's still going on today. And I think we can all agree. And you've been all over this part of the story of who is really controlling the puppet strings on this current administration. But I also go back to William F. Buckley Jr. and Ronald Reagan and talk about the communist takeover of this country. And I know people are using terms like leftist and progressive, but I think they're just good old fashioned communists that are doing this. And Reagan and Buckley really were very strategic in how they approached the issue. They understood that this fight against communism was not so much a political fight as it was a spiritual fight, that this is a religious battle of good versus evil. And when Reagan went to the Soviet Union, that was the moment, they embraced that idea, this notion that this was a religious war at its core. And I think, Monica, that's one of the reasons why I was concerned when the pandemic broke out, that the call came out from the government to shut down the churches. And my concern was not the pandemic, but it was our response to the pandemic when the government said, we will keep you safe, but you have to give us some of your rights in order to do that. And Monica, when they start shutting down church houses, that is the canary in the coal mine for me. And I think we're in some very dangerous waters right now as a country.
Well, I know you're a believer, Todd, as am I. And I'm so glad you raised the spiritual nature of this battle, because I do talk about this as well. And I know you do, too. And, a couple of months ago, I tweeted, this is a spiritual war. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And I think that is exactly right, that obviously we're in the crossfire of this spiritual war, and there are so many secular aspects to it, politics, the election, big tech, the culture. And we need to be in all of those fights for sure, because God gives us the tools to fight these forces of darkness and evil. But at base, this is this is something that is much bigger than all of us going on, right?
It is huge. And go back to, and I opened the book with this, the scene from Philadelphia, Darth Brandon and the Temple of Doom is the name of the chapter title. And the president bathed in blood red lighting and the darkness. Monica, that was when I saw that and I was watching it in real time, I just felt a very almost a demonic presence.
Yes.
In that imagery, to your point. We are dealing with a very dangerous spiritual warfare in this country. And I am very concerned because many of our churches, and I am a Southern Baptist. We are the largest non-Catholic denomination, but the Catholics as well, I think our churches are being neutralized. And that's actually happening from within the church. And that greatly concerns me, because without those two large denominations sort of guiding the moral and really holding on to the moral footing of this nation, I think it's going to unravel quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I mean, this really does feel like a very serious tipping point. Talk to us a little bit, Todd, about, in your view, after having written this book and observing what you do every day on the air, what do you think are the most dangerous threats to America right now?
Well, certainly the border, and we've seen this in all of the exit polling data from the primaries and the caucuses. And it doesn't matter where you are. People understand the nature of what is happening at the southern border, where we have not only been invaded, but we have been invaded by armies of military-aged young men who are very dangerous. They are now occupying America. Now we have an Obama-appointed federal judge saying these individuals have the right to own and bear arms. Again, I think that is a grave concern. we have had so many lawmakers on the national show, and you have as well, and they tell you the exact same thing, that it's not a matter of if, but when there is some sort of a massive terrorist attack on American soil. And it just seems to me, Monica, and if I could just take the Republicans to task for a moment, if that is the case, then why in the world are they not out there every single day, you know, shouting this from the rooftops, but also putting a stop to everything else that's going on in Washington to deal with this one specific issue?
Well, you know, I think, and getting back to the spiritual nature of what we're fighting here, Todd, God sometimes allows really bad things to happen that we, our human mind, can't really explain in a rational way, but he allows us to hit rock bottom so that our eyes are open and that we see the worst of the worst and also come back to him. And I want to get to that here in just a second. But maybe God has allowed this Biden regime, which is really being run by Barack and Michelle Obama and the Obama team, but maybe he's allowed this to wake Americans up. Because to your point about polling, you see poll after poll, the wide open border, the tsunami of illegals, all of the drain on our resources, the crime, the drugs, the cartels controlling the border, all of these things are waking a lot of people up, including traditional Democrat voters like Black voters, Latino voters, women, Asian Americans. They're going, what is happening here to our communities? All of the resources meant for them are now going to illegals. Their schools are being emptied of American kids so that illegals can get in there. All of this stuff. There are a lot of people waking up here. I just hope it's not too late.
Yes, and I would agree with that. And we've certainly seen that in my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee, where, you know, even on KWAM, an 18% increase in the number of Black listeners. So I think people are starting to wake up and understand what the policies of the Democrat Party have wrought, you know, on those demographics. So, you know, again, it's a precarious time in the country. But again, I am very hopeful. And I was joking around. I said, I wanted to, because the people say, well, what's the answer to the question? Can America be saved? Yes, America can be saved. The question is, what do we want to do? Do we want to save America? Because when you look at the data coming out of election days, I hate to say it, Monica, but a good many conservatives and a whole heck of a lot of evangelical believers just don't go out and engage the political process. And that is just unacceptable. We've got to have all hands on deck.
Well, this is where you come in as well, because you do have this very influential show that is, it's political, of course, but it's also faith-based. And it's out of, like you say, KWAM, out of Memphis. And it is nationally syndicated. I think you said 160 stations. But, you know, I look at your job on the air, Todd, and through this book as reaching evangelical voters, because I was with a group the other night at Mar-a-Lago, and, you know, there were some evangelical leaders there, and you know, they were very concerned about the evangelical vote getting out there, right? Because it's going to be not really a question of who we turn out. You and I are going to turn out for the election, like, you know, like in Braveheart, screaming for Trump and for every Republican. But I think the question is more, who is going to stay home? And so how do we, and I know you and I do this all day, every day, but how do the collective we make sure that our fellow Americans who really do care about the country, who are faith-based, but even if they're not, that they get focused on how late the hour is in America and mobilize them to work to save the country?
You know, this is a terrific question, and it's I don't know that there's one clear answer to that. I will say that we're helping people put together the puzzle pieces on the radio show, because it's all sort of linked together. And I love what was happening with the moms and dads, Moms for Liberty, these parents who finally joined the political conversation because of what was happening in their local kids' schools during the pandemic. So That's what we have to have. We've got to get all these little coalitions together and understand that all of us, there is one common denominator. And when you look at this radical change that has happened in our society, the cultural change that's happened, it has not been an organic change. It has been forced, and it has been forced through our public school classrooms. And I take people through this in the book, and I just tell stories, Monica, and I put it all together because people will always say, oh, well, that's just an anomaly. But when you read five or six other instances at schools all over America, you realize, well, wait a second, this looks like something that is more coordinated, not coincidental. And I really hope when people read the book, they're going to be motivated to get out there and go and vote on Election Day.
Yes, and we need all hands on deck. So the more people we can wake up, the better. Speaking of the election, we have seen a couple of rounds here of rigged elections, rigged in a variety of ways. And Todd, I always tell the story about President Nixon, who was my first boss in his last years, not when he was president. I was not even born then. But I did work with him in his final years. And we talked about the 1960 election often. And I wrote about it in my memoirs about my years with him. But 1960 was rigged by the Kennedys and the Democrats against Richard Nixon. And I always use that example because the Democrats have been doing this for decades, and now they've elevated it to an art and a science in the 21st century. So what, as you've thought about going into this election, how do we make sure that our elections are secure and that they are actually fair and not rigged?
You know, it's a great question. And it's funny because yesterday on the radio show, I was actually talking about the 1960 election. And you're right. Democrats have been doing this for decades, for generations. Look, first of all, we have to go and vote. I think that is just that's just the bottom line. We've all got to get out and vote. I went to we had the Tennessee primary, Republican primary a couple of weeks ago on Super Tuesday. And I walked into my polling station, and I live in a pretty conservative suburb of Memphis, and I was the only person in line. And I'm like, wow, where is everybody? Mm. That's not good. I also think, and I'm excited about what Lara Trump and the team are doing there at the RNC now, but we've got to play their game. We've got to play the Democrats' game when it comes to getting those ballots, getting people out, getting them to the polls. We've got to start playing that game. And if we don't, it could get really dicey in November.
Well, that's it. And, you know, when we've seen what the deep state is capable of, especially in 2020, releasing a virus, shutting down the global economy, getting Antifa and Black Lives Matter, their shock troops to burn down the country, rig that election, January 6th, when you see everything that they are capable of doing to stop one man and his movement, we can only imagine what they have planned for this year. And again, this circles back to how we started this conversation, which is the spiritual nature of this war. These are very dark, evil forces we are up against. They will stop at nothing, and I mean literally nothing, to achieve power, hold on to power, and to stop those of us who love our country and are on the right side. What do you predict for 2024?
I believe President Trump is going to win in a landslide. I think that we are looking at almost going back to the Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan race, where the country was just in the throes of melees. And I think that's exactly where we are right now. It is a perfect storm. As much as it is about immigration, I still believe that people are also greatly concerned about the economy, and especially young people who see and understand that they can't get a job or they're not able to make ends meet because of the economic policies of Joe Biden. So I think those two big issues, throw in crime as a third, and I think it's going to lead to a landslide win for President Trump.
From your lips to God's ears, Todd, and when people say to me, well, can Trump win? I was like, well, he won twice. So, yeah, yes. I mean, yeah. Yes. So the question is not, can he win? Of course he can win, and in a landslide. The question is, will the deep state allow him to win? That's a different question. Getting back to God, I want to ask you, as we close out our time here together, Todd, how do we bring America back? And obviously, there are real practical ways that we can do that, like you just lay out. I think everybody should be volunteering their time, resources, and talents heading into this election. So volunteer, campaign, volunteer your time, be a poll watcher. If you're a lawyer, volunteer your expertise. If there are poll challenges in your district, precinct, state, whatever it might be, we need all hands on deck. But apart from that, Don't we need a return to God? Don't we need, as a country, a return to faith, because this nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles? Can you talk about how important that piece is?
You know, President Trump came under fire just a little while ago for saying that Democrats, Jewish Democrats who still vote for Democrats, just must hate their religion. I would contend that so do Catholics and Protestants who are Democrats. I think there's something very sinister about this Democrat Party today, which is not your dad or your grandfather's Democrat Party. This is a party that hates God. And the reason why is because they believe they are God. And that is troubling. It is disturbing. But yes, it's true that we do need to return to the faith of our founding fathers. And I write about this in the book, Monica, that the most important way to fix what's broken in Washington is to first fix what is broken in our homes. Mm-hmm. The original working title of the book was called American Homecoming, going back to the roots of what made this country strong, the value systems that made this country strong. Those are flavored and rooted in Judeo-Christian teachings. You know, Ronald Reagan said that American greatness does not start in Washington. It starts around the supper table. And I actually encourage people, moms and dads, to start having dinner with the whole family sitting around the dinner table. It's important for moms and dads to teach their kids about the founding documents and their rights, so they understand, you know, why America is the greatest nation on the planet. And Monica, I also end with a note of encouragement from John Adams, our second president, in the throes of 1776, when nobody knew what was going to happen. He wrote a letter to his wife, Abigail, and he said this. He said, "In spite of the gloom, I still see the ravishing rays of light and glory." And that is really the rally cry for us. In spite of the darkness that Joe Biden and the Democrats brought to America, there is hope on the horizon, and there is a man who will make America great again, and that man's name is Donald John Trump.
Yes. And isn't it amazing how, whether you're in Old Testament times or today, how God uses imperfect people, and we are all imperfect. We are all fallen. We're all sinners. But throughout history, whether it's Abraham, Moses, David, you name it, the disciples, all very imperfect people to achieve a goal. And it looks like, to my mind, Donald Trump is just the latest in that long line, correct?
Yes, he is. Amen, sister, as we say in the Baptist Church.
Amen. That's right. Well, I'm glad you're so optimistic about the country, Todd. You know, the title of the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming, is it is a hopeful sign, and it's also a warning sign for everybody. The book, again, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? The author, the great Todd Starnes, he gives us a resounding yes answer to that question, but it's going to take a lot of work and a lot of faith and a return to God. So, Todd, congratulations on the book. I am thrilled to have you here, and I just appreciate you so much.
Monica, thank you so much. And I look forward to having you back on the radio soon.
I love joining you, as always. Can you tell everybody, if they don't live in Memphis, where they can live stream your show?
Sure. They can live stream at KWAM Radio, KWAMradio.com. And they can go to my website, ToddStarnes.com. And I'm happy to autograph a copy of the book for you there.
Oh, fantastic. Everybody, go get the book, available at Amazon, wherever you get your books. It's a really important book, and you know, we need all hands on deck, so go get it. Todd Starnes, thank you, my friend.
Thanks, Monica.
Okay, guys, that is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining us, for telling everybody, friends, family, colleagues about this show. We need as many people listening to this show and others to wake them up, especially going into this election, because we don't have a lot of time here. So appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for joining me and for checking out our great sponsors. Have a fantastic end to your week, a great weekend, and I will see you right back here next week with some huge shows. This episode of the Monica Crowley Podcast was produced by Behakle Entertainment, LLC.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org, paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.